Blog Talk Radio.
This
Good morning to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. How are you today? Well, I couldn't sleep much last night. I got to tell you, the prayer meeting had me all wound up. God was really moving. I was so blessed by the prayers of everyone who participated. The prayers were truly, truly of God. And I was just so blessed, so moved. And, you know, the prior week we had 28 people on the line. This week the report said we had 33. Well, the report said we had 34, but someone dropped their call. And they called in again, and so they're calling in a second time once they were on originally, counts as another caller. But so instead of 34, it should really be 33. So we went from 28 to 33, which means an additional 5 people were on the line. My brothers and sisters, it's working. Incrementally, God is giving us the increase. There are more people who are hungering and thirsting after God, more people who are coming together to seek the Lord and seek his strength, because we are no match for what we face in this life and what we face in this wicked world. We're just no match. This is why through prayer and by means of prayer, we fetch power from God. The Lord is on the side of his people. So I was just so blessed. And so let us continue to pray. Let us continue to love on one another. You know, one of the things that will quench a revival, one of the things that would bring a revival to a screeching halt is division, infighting, treating one another disrespectfully. So let us continue to love one another from a pure heart. Let us genuinely be concerned one for another. And that just doesn't mean let us be concerned for one another at Grace, but let us be concerned for one another in the Christian community. Let us be concerned about the Methodist Reformed Church and all of the independent churches that are in town, the Lutheran church. Let's be concerned for all of our brothers and sisters, and also let us be concerned for our fellow man who doesn't know Christ. That's why we pray, because we want God to save. We want God to deliver. We want the Lord to set people free. So it was a great night. Last night, of course, the half-hour teaching is just phenomenal. Sister Hart covered part of the hymn, and then the George Mueller book, then Revelation. Not in that order, of course. Revelation was the second thing she covered, but it was just fantastic. So let us continue to join in prayer. More people are joining. After the prayer meeting, I was getting calls. More people are joining. So to God be the glory. Listen. To God be the glory. It says the people will be willing. And what people is that? The people of God. The people of God will be willing in the day of his power. You know, God's just going to move. And when he moves, people will move to him. See, the sign of revival is that people are turning to God. And that's what we're doing. We're turning to God, humbly turning to God. We're seeking his face because without him, we can't make it. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we've started a new series. It's called No Need to Fear. No Need to Fear. It is based on Isaiah 41:10. In fact, it is based on the first part of Isaiah 41:10. But I'm going to read all of Isaiah 41:10. It reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not is our series topic. We thank you yet again because we live in a world that puts fear in us. We live in a world that causes us to be anxious. If we're honest, Lord, we live in a world that frightens us. We see what man can do to man on a national level and on an individual level. We see how one man can murder another man. We saw this with Cain and Abel. Early on in the Bible, how one brother rose and slew another brother. From the same mother, from the same father, from the same womb, one man rose up to kill another. And ever since then, Lord, it's been happening. We live in a scary world, Lord. But because you are with us, and that is the changing factor, because you are with us, we are told not to fear. Oh, God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for adopting us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, dear Father, loving Father, caring Father. Oh, Lord, we pray, bless this study today. Anchor our hearts to your word. Let us know that we have nothing to fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And saints, this is why we're praying. We're praying because we want more people to come to Jesus so that they too would have nothing to fear in this scary world. Yesterday, and of course, as you can see in your outline, we've divided the different fears by day. On Tuesday, when I was contemplating, when I was thinking about how to do this study, for Tuesday we assigned no need to fear today or tomorrow. For today, we're going to be talking about no need to fear man or devil. So yesterday was no need to fear today or tomorrow. Today we want to deal with no need to fear man or the devil. Tomorrow, no need to fear old age, sickness, or disease. And then on Friday, we want to talk about no need to fear death or the grave. So let's consider a little bit about what we talked about yesterday. Today carries its own anxieties. Today, life today, on this day, what date is today? Well, today is Wednesday, March 2nd. So on Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022, on this day has its worries. This day has its problems. Why? Because we live in an evil world. We live in a sinful world. So there's going to be, every day there's going to be a problem, especially the day in which we're living today. Today, there are problems all over the earth. And people are full of fear. What is fear? Well, the Hebrew verb fear, to fear, means to be afraid, to be fearful of, to be scared of, to be apprehensive of, to live in fear of, to be terrified of, to be anxious about, to be worried about, to feel apprehensive about. Other words that are connected to this would be such words as, consider this. Consider these terms, if you will. Terrified, petrified, nervous, trembling, quaking, faint-hearted, scared to death. God says to us, you need not be scared, terrified, petrified, nervous, quaking in your boots, trembling there as you stand, faint-hearted as you think. and scared to death. You know, when people are scared to death, they don't do anything. They're just paralyzed with fear. God says, don't be any of the above. Why? I am with you. I'm with you. If God be for us, St. Paul said, who would dare? Who could imagine be against us? So we don't need to fear today. We don't need to fear tomorrow because God is in complete control. God is in control of all things. And you say, but Pastor, look what's going on in the Ukraine. Look what's going on between Russia and the people of that land. And I say to you, based on scripture, God's in complete control. Now, it doesn't seem that way, but he is. He is. And we know, dear brothers and sisters, that the Bible gives us a heads up. The Bible explains to us in advance that things are supposed to get dire, extremely difficult, right before Jesus comes. He said there would be wars and rumors of wars. There would be earthquake. There would be famine. He said, he was saying to his disciples on the Olivet Discourse, he said, listen, right before I come, things are going to get very, very, very dark. But you, my disciples, need not fear. Why? Because God is with us. It was very dark for Paul when he was on his way to Rome. It says in Acts 27, and let's go to Acts 27. Paul was on his way to Rome. He had to appear before Caesar. And he's on a ship, and this ship happened to collide with a nor'easter, what the Greek text tells us, a Euroclidon. And so here in verse 24, it says, or let's start in verse 23. Paul is rehearsing. He says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, of whose I am. You see, he said, listen, an angel of God visited me, the God to whom I belong and the God whom I serve. This angel said to me, fear not, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has also given thee all the people that sail on this ship. And Paul said, because that angel brought me that word, you, sirs, ought to be of good cheer. That's verse 25. For I believe God, that it shall happen, it shall be, even as it was told me. God is not in the business of making empty promises. God is not in the business of dispatching an angel to tell us fibs and lies. No. That angel came and said to Paul, you don't need to worry about right now. You don't need to worry about this moment. You don't need to worry about this ship. You don't, listen, you will make it to your final destination. On your way to Rome you were going, and you shall arrive at Rome because God will see to it. God will protect you, and not just you, Paul, but every soul on this ship, every soul on this ark will not perish in this storm. The ship would perish. The cargo will perish. The cargo will drop to the depths of the sea, but you and your fellow passengers shall come out on the other side alive. Therefore, Paul says, you need to be of good cheer. You see, God, look, I don't care what storm you're going through. I don't care what difficulty you're going through. God is with you, and because of that, you don't need to fear. He's got your back. You know, the Bible says in the Psalms, he will not suffer thy foot to slip. Listen, God's not going to let you fall flat on your face. God will prevent you from falling and making a spectacle of yourself. He's not going to let you be embarrassed in life. You're his child. He's got you. You don't need to fear today. You don't need to fear tomorrow. I don't worry. Look, of course, I see what's happening with inflation. I see the prices of gas, and I see the prices of food going up, and I see the prices of heating oil going up. Do you think that shakes me? No. Why? Because he's my heavenly Father. And Jesus said, your heavenly Father does not want you to worry about clothes or food or heating oil. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will make sure you get the clothes you need, and you get the heating oil you need, and you get everything that you need. God will make sure of it if you are engaged in his work. And that's the other thing. You know, when you're busy for God, when you're busy for your family, when you're busy for the saints, you don't have time to fear. You're just busy. You're serving. You're occupied. You see, it's when you, look, it's when you're not doing anything. It's when you're not occupied that your mind starts wandering and you start thinking and things start to creep in, and then fear starts taking a grip of your heart. But if you're occupied for the Lord, you don't have any time to be thinking about gas prices. And of course, you go to the pump, sure, it's right there, it's staring right at you. But it doesn't shake me, it doesn't move me. Why? Because he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. God owns it all. Your heavenly Father owns it all. Yes, some people may be, you know, worried. And I would use the word concerned. I'm concerned, but I'm not worried. I see what's going on. I'm not a denier. No, I can see what's going on. I'm not denying the facts. But here's an overriding fact. The overriding fact is that God is for us, is for his people. So you don't need to worry about today, and you don't need to worry about tomorrow. Just keep living for God, and he'll take care of all your fears. Today I want to talk about fearing no man, fearing no devil. Fearing no man, fearing no devil. In Genesis chapter 15, Abraham had just returned, from rescuing his knuckleheaded nephew, Lot. And in order to rescue his wayward nephew, Lot, Abraham had to marshal his troops together, a militia, if you will. And the militia was made up of 318 men, according to Genesis 14. And Abraham took his little ragtag militia and began to fight five kings who came down into Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding nations and had defeated those cities in military combat and had taken the survivors as slaves. Well, some of the survivors were Lot, Abraham's nephew, his wife, and his children. So Abraham felt duty-bound to go rescue that wayward believer. And he did. And he defeated the kings. And God afforded Abraham with a great victory and a great deliverance. And Lot was only a slave for a few hours, was only a captive for less than a day, because Abraham, with the might of the Lord, rescued Lot. And not just Lot, but all the other captives. Now, Abraham is back home. Lot is back home. Everybody's happy. Life is resuming. And then in the quiet of the day, Abraham starts to think about the five kings. And he says, he starts to imagine, are they going to reconstitute their army? Are they going to come after me? Are they going to retaliate against me? Are they going to wipe me out? Are they coming back for revenge? So Abraham is worried. He's got the victory. The victory is behind him. But now as he faces today, he's pondering, will they attack today? Will they come after me tomorrow? And this is what God says to him, because God knows all things. And in Genesis 15:1, it says, after these things, what things is Moses referring to? Well, he's referring to the great victory that God gave Abraham and the great deliverance which was wrought as a result of that great battle victory. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not. Abraham, fear not. Now, what he's saying to Abraham in essence is, don't be scared. Don't be terrified. Don't be petrified. Don't be nervous. Don't allow yourself to get faint-hearted. Don't allow yourself to graduate from being faint-hearted to scared to death. Fear not, Abraham. Why, says Abraham? Well, God replies, I am thy shield. No, in essence, no weapon formed against you shall ever even come close. I am your protective shield. I am your shield, and not just your shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. In other words, God is saying to him, you don't have to worry about them coming after you and hurting your personal economy. You don't have to worry about the five kings saying to the people, don't sell, don't transact with Abraham. Don't worry about economic sanctions, if you will. Because I'm the God who owns it all. I will supply you. I am your treasure trove of wealth. You see, when you know who God is, you don't need to fear. Because the two areas in which the devil likes to get us thinking is, one, bodily harm, or two, economic harm. And God says to Abraham, you don't have to fear any of those two things. No economic harm will come to you. No physical harm will come to you. That's God. So we don't need to fear man. We don't need to fear man. Other examples of this is Exodus chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Exodus 14. Now the children of Israel, of course, are backed up against the Red Sea. And Moses says to them in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, as Pharaoh is coming down with his charioteers, he says, fear not. Stand still, and you will see the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord, which he will show you today. You see, you don't have to worry about today, and you don't have to worry about man. Moses says, today, God will handle business. Today, he will get rid of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army once and for all. Today, Moses says, it stops. This abuse will stop today. Why? Because the Lord is with us, and because he's with us, you have nothing to fear. He says, the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. It ends today. And verse 14 says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you will hold your peace. You won't even have to say anything. You won't have to lift a finger. God will do all the fighting for you. You don't need to fear this great troop of soldiers coming down this highway to enslave you again. You don't have to fear them. You don't have to fear man. You don't have to fear. On another occasion, the children of Israel are facing another battle. another opponent, another army, you know, because they just, listen, you're going to have battles every year of your life. That's just the way life is. So here's another year. Here's another area in which the children of Israel find themselves in. It's not back at the Red Sea. It's a new location. New location, new day, new enemy. And God says to Moses in Numbers 21, verse 34, and the Lord said to Moses, fear him not. Who is him? Well, it's Og. He was a ruthless king. O-G was his name, Og, the king of Bashan. And the Lord said unto Moses, fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and not just him, but I've delivered all his people, and not just all his people, but also you will possess his lands. As you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, you shall do to him. This guy Og had a big reputation. I mean, this guy was big in those, and Moses heard about it, and fear, doubt was starting to creep in, and Moses says, you don't need to fear him. Why? Because I'm on your side. The same thing was said to Daniel. You know, Daniel was a praying man, and Daniel was in 3 weeks of prayer. He was in the middle of 3 weeks of prayer. And in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, an angel came to Daniel and said, and behold, a hand touched me. And he set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Beloved of whom, you ask? Beloved of God. In verse 12, he says, listen, Daniel, I am the angel of the Lord. I was sent to you, and I am here to tell you in verse 12, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you did set thine heart to understand, from the first day you started to seek God in prayer, to understand what was swirling around you from that first day, God took notice of your prayers, and here is the answer. Fear not. God is on your side. You see, my brothers and sisters, we don't need to fear man. We don't need to fear war. We don't need to fear anything. Why? God is on the side of the righteous. The righteous always win. In Isaiah 51, let's turn to Isaiah 51, verse number 7. In Isaiah 51, look at this beautiful text. It says, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. You and I know righteousness. We are a righteous people. Why? Well, because we have imputed unto us the righteousness of Christ. But not only do we have imputed unto us the righteousness of Christ, but we are people who have made up our minds to live right, to do right. So this prophecy says, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. You know it because you live in it. The people in whose heart is my law. The laws of whom? The laws of God. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Listen, let them talk like Goliath. Let them say the stupid things that they want to say. Let them boast and listen. Let them brag. Let them just have a good time declaring all the things that they're going to do to the people of God, because it will come to naught. Why? Because God says, fear not, I got this under control. The battle is not yours, but mine. You don't need to fear man. So we don't need to fear our todays. We don't need to fear our tomorrows, because God is in complete control of everything that goes on. And we don't need to fear man, one of God's creatures. Also, we don't need to fear the devil, who is also one of God's creatures. In Revelation, turn to Revelation chapter 2. verse 10. Revelation 2:10. And it says in Revelation 2:10, this is Jesus speaking to the church of Smyrna. He says, "Fear none of those things which you are about to suffer." You mean God allows us to suffer some things? Yes. Tell me God allows his people sometimes to be persecuted? Yes. You mean to tell me that sometimes God allows his people to undergo tribulation? Yes. You mean to tell me, Pastor, that sometimes God allows his people to go without? Yes. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold. And that word behold in Greek is idong. It means to take stock. When you see that word behold, it says pause and stop and see what I'm about to show you. It's like a big billboard saying stop and consider what follows. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. You mean, pastors, some saints die at the hand of Satan, that Satan is allowed to take their life? Yes. But what did Jesus say? Do not fear him who can kill the body. Fear him who can both kill the body and the soul. You see, Satan may take away your natural life, but he cannot take away your eternal life. You are secured in the arms of Jesus. Some saints will die martyrdom. That is their lot. But he says, fear none of those things. You don't have to fear the devil taking your life. Why? Because Christ gives us eternal life. So you die. So you give up the ghost like Stephen. Stephen was being stoned in Acts chapter 7. And while he was being stoned, he said like Jesus, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive. They're stoning him. His enemies are stoning him. A man who is innocent. A man with no guile in his mouth. A man who was guilty of nothing. And the radical Jews dragged him out to the outskirts of the city, picked up huge stones and bludgeoned him to death without cause. And while they were throwing stones at him, he said, Father, forgive them. You see, my brothers and sisters, Stephen feared not. So take my life. Burn me at the stake. Throw me to the lions, as many Christians were. We're not fazed by that. We don't fear devil. We don't fear Satan and his minions. They can only take natural life. They can't take away eternal life. And when Satan takes your life, if that is your lot, you graduate from church militant to church triumphant. Don't you know that when you die, when a believer dies, that he transfers his membership from this church on earth called the church militant. And the moment he dies, his membership is transferred to heaven, where now he's part of the church triumphant. Satan is only doing you and me a favor when he takes our life, because we graduate. We go home to be with the Lord. He thinks he's going to scare us into, us denying Jesus. No, you can chop my head off if you like to, but I'm not denying the Lord. You can throw me into the fiery furnace if you want to. Now, God may deliver me from the fiery furnace, or he may choose not to, as the three Hebrew boys said to Nebuchadnezzar, but whatever happens, whatever the outcome, we will serve the Lord. We're not full of fear. My brothers and sisters, fear not. Why? Because the Lord says in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I may not get to you. I may not get to your side to hold your hand, but God is always there. We can count on him. If there's anything you can count on in life, is you can count that God will be there for you. Now, as I close today's Bible study, I want to play this hymn, Take Lord, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. I want you to listen to this song. I want you to listen to the words, because these hymns that we play, they are sermons in song. So listen to this song, and if you are struggling with fear, if you are gripped with the fear of today, if you're gripped with the fear of tomorrow, if you fear man, if you fear the devil, listen to this song and say, precious Lord of Isaiah 41:10, take my hand. Like a father takes the hand of his son, or like the mother takes the hand of her little daughter, you say to God, I feel so vulnerable. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am old. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is over, thank you. Jesus, Lord, take my hand, lead me, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak. Take my hand, precious love.